from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
That's right, host for Chatterbox right here. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
And we have...
Josh. Hey, guys.
Josh, the always maybe gonna be here guy. Thanks for coming in. So we're gonna talk about stuff. Video games. There was some news today. I don't know how important it is. The Sony PS3 Slim thing.
I heard about it.
It's important enough to talk
about.
Sort
of. It's the sort of thing that people have been salivating over for months, but I don't know why anyone actually cares that much, just because it's a new, cool console to look at, even though it kind of looks dumb.
I'm actually surprised that they've done this so early in the PS3 life cycle.
That was weird to me, but they need to cut the cost down, so... And maybe it just seems early because we haven't been playing any games on it, and it's actually been
around for
2 years.
I thought about that, but no. Has it been 2 years?
It's been really? Three, hasn't it?
No.
I don't think so.
No way.
When did it come out?
No, it's been like it's been like 4 months.
In November, it'll have been 3 years.
I think it's been two, and I bet someone in our chat room will fact check for us.
It doesn't... But really, I mean, for the PS2, right, the Slim version only came out, what, like 5, 6, even more years?
Oh, yeah, like we were ready to get the Xbox 360 by the time that came out.
On the other hand, I mean, the proportions of the original PS3 are quite hulking.
Yeah, the PS3 released November 11th, 2006, so it'll be 3 years in November. Yeah.
You know, it's weird.
That's a long time.
The size discrepancy. What are you saying? How many years ago? Two or three?
3 years. Yeah,
3 years.
In November.
But now they're externalizing the power supply, aren't they? So it's really...
They've done that always with all of their Slim versions.
Well, right. No, but I mean, with the PS3, it's not. And so the new form factor isn't including the size of the power supply.
Okay. And what's funny is the form factor is actually bigger in terms of depth. The Slim is deeper.
We were joking before the show. I don't know how much of this was in fact and how much of it was just made up, but something about the guy who designed the PS3, how he got his inspiration from a pizza box.
that was a joke.
And then I took that joke one step further and mused that, well, he probably looked at the pizza box and said, yes, we will use this shape, but make it bigger.
That's pretty much what it is. And it's a very tame-looking box. There's nothing exciting about it, but... Whatever.
Like, other than the curved surface on which nothing can be placed.
Well, what's weird
about
it?
Well, they do that on purpose, I think, so that you won't cover it and like dilute the concept of, oh, this is an amazing toy, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to cover the logo.
Yes.
But what's weird about it is when you look at it now, like when you look at the PS3, it's more of a rectangle. Like if you look at it from the top.
Or from the side, sure.
Or from the side. So it has, you know, these ratios or whatever. And now it's like a square. It's like a square with a curved top, and it looks really weird.
I'm just happy that they stopped using the Spider-Man font.
They did.
Blu-ray.
So I don't have to look at my PS3 and think there's Spider-Man all the time.
Now, something that's far more important than the size of the PlayStation 3 console, or its weight, or its external power supply, is the fact that we are going to be at PAX in, what, like 2.5 weeks now?
Sure.
It's coming up very soon.
It's now, very soon.
I got an email just this week asking... Do my eyes deceive me? Is the Family Feud show not happening at PAX? Your eyes do not deceive you, sir, whomever you are, whose name I don't have in front of me right now. Perhaps a Mike or a Mark or something. We're doing a different show, which we've done in the past, the Chatterbox Treasure Box show. You'll recall that we did that in 2005, 6, and 7. Skipped it for 2008, and it's coming back. We're not doing Family Feud. We're going to focus on Chatterbox. And so it's actually going to be a lot of fun. I haven't decided which I liked better. You've been there for both of them, Rich, right?
Yeah.
Rich, do you have an opinion?
The Chatterbox is better.
Seems more fun, right? Because it's more us. It's more just us talking to the audience. So if you're listening and you're going to be at PAX, I certainly urge you to go. It's going to be Friday night in the Serpent Theater at 8 o'clock. And, of course, it's on the schedule, if I'm wrong. But I'm pretty sure it's 8 o'clock Serpent Theater Friday night. Audience can win prizes. Contestants can win prizes. We have to select contestants somehow. And it's the first day of the show, so I don't know how we're going to select them. In the past, we've gone to, Joystick and Kotaku and other places to provide us with people. We haven't done that this year.
I think prospective contestants should do something to get you folks' attention during the show before... Your show during the show happens. Like, hold up a sign, like, have them design signs or do something really embarrassing.
I can't think of something.
That will simultaneously advertise Chatterbox as well as embarrass the individual.
Well, We should do something.
And Twitter hashtag, maybe?
Could be. That would actually be good. And we haven't mentioned our Twitter accounts in quite a while. So go to the website, Chatterbox Game Show. You'll find my Twitter tag, which is just CBoxAlon, like the letter C, BoxAlon. You have one as well, Rich, right? Nameless Ted?
Yep.
That's your online persona. Nameless Ted. Mr. Void is you, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, you can actually go to Golgatron on the staff page, and they're listed there, too. Yeah.
You won't see me on the staff page.
Of course not.
Except for Alon.
I won't be there, but other people will be there. Ara, I think you're still not playing on Twitter, right?
You won't see me on Twitter or, I'm presuming, the staff page or really even PAX, but I'm around.
All right. Well, anyway, we're going to be there. It's going to be awesome, and we want you there. And what I want from you now, actually, is an email telling me how we should select contestants. That would be fun.
Could we just do rock, paper, scissors when people get there?
No, I want to do it in advance. So rock, paper, scissors over email.
All girls. Every girl. That's what we'll just do. Take it all the females.
That would be a bad idea based on my stereotypes about how none of them have any video game knowledge. So,
ooh.
Yeah, that's rough.
The girl from 2 years ago did well, though. She knew quite a bit.
I don't actually remember the event, but I think I recall
she did better than Drewby, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So.
And he was our lead, right? Like, we were expecting him to take it.
He was a major letdown.
All right. Well, anyway, for those who don't know what Chatterbox Treasure Box is, it's basically, I want to say Jeopardy style, just because that's sort of classic game show. You know, there's a grid with lots of questions. You decide which question you want to answer, and you try to answer it. If you don't get it, it goes to the other contestants. And when no contestants get it, the audience gets to answer it. And I think we might reduce it. If two contestants don't get it, then maybe. I don't know. The rules could change anytime. So that's it. That's all I have to say about it. Just make sure you're at the show, because it's going to be a lot of fun. So moving on to other things.
We've got so many interesting stories tonight.
I am glad you do.
I've got so many interesting stories. And I know they say that almost every time, but this time it's even more interesting than previous times.
I can't help but notice you have a paper that says Trials HD. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
You know, right after talking about it last week, I went home and played it.
Yeah.
And I played through almost all of it.
I don't know if you...
Of my friends, I'm doing better than all of them.
Yes, you're doing friends. Better than me, and I don't know if you noticed my elongated sigh, but that should give you an inkling of my impression of the game.
I like it, dude!
I know you like it!
Some of them are weird. They're like the skiing one, I don't know. I'm talking about the challenges, right? Don't know how to do
skiing
it.
Okay, let me...
There's a lot of challenges that are like not the main game. There's, you know, try to hurt yourself as much as possible, and try to... You know those giant spheres that some motorcycle circus stunt people go and ride inside?
Yeah.
There's sometimes you have to get on top of them and see how far you can go. Really hard. and then there's one where you ride inside of it and see how far you can go without, like, throwing yourself against the inside of it or something. It's a lot of fun. The stunts are good ones. I haven't even played them all. But some I just don't get. I don't know how to do well in them. So I only get, like, a silver instead of a gold.
Well, let me relate to you and all of the other folks what I don't get about the game. I know you love it, but...
I love it as a casual game.
Here's another perspective here. There are few things in games that are more infuriating to me than the kind of thing where you're continuously replaying a loop of about 5 to 20 seconds of gameplay.
Ooh.
Which is what this game seems to be pretty much all about.
You know what's weird? I was thinking to myself on several occasions while playing it that this game... Although you do that, this game actually did it right, whereas so many other games, you end up restarting elements, and they make you go through some sort of menu system to do it, or they have some sort of delay. And in this game, you press the back button, and boom, you are back
now,
to either the very beginning or to the last checkpoint.
I mean, I guess that's a nice feature. It would be even more infuriating if you had to go through some chicanery to redo. But just the fact that I'm redoing the same thing that I redid already over and over, and that loop of gameplay... is so short, is just incredibly irritating to me.
Okay, it's definitely a precision game.
Number one, okay, which is has nothing to do with whether the game is precision or not, by the way. Number two is that, and maybe this is just the first few levels because I did just play the demo and decided not to buy the game, but the fact that, one, okay, I'm in a warehouse where everything is brown and red, okay, is also infuriating. And two, where things are exploding out of nowhere for no reason. I feel like I'm in some kind of Universal
concert.
Studios ride. There's just these explosions.
You're not talking about the explosions not the explosions that hurt you, but the explosions in the background just for scenery.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Now, okay, once you get used to it, you're like, okay, you know what it is. But like my first impression, right, the 10-second impression of the game, I'm like, what is going on here? The whole level is exploding.
It's totally like an AC/DC concert.
It has nothing to do with
the gameplay at all. Everything's exploding in front of me. Everything's exploding behind me. It's just explosions everywhere.
That's true.
It's just, no, it's enough.
Me is levels later in the game, I have literally no idea how to get past them. Like, you know how it keeps a counter of how many times you've replayed?
No, but okay.
Okay, so there's two options. You can either press the back button and go back to the beginning of the level, or you can press the B button, which goes back to the last checkpoint. And there's lots of checkpoints very frequently.
Right.
So I get to the part in one of the levels in the like extreme difficulty, and there's only two bikes available to me. So it's not like I could surmount this hill with a different bike. I've used all the bikes available.
You can't even unlock another bike for that.
It seems to indicate that you could use other ones, but I've done pretty well in the game, right? Like, I'm not some total novice. I've done well enough to get to the extreme, and I've gotten gold and a lot of stuff. But so there's presumably bikes I would get later by doing other really awesome things. But with these bikes, I should be able to get past this level. And I tried one of them over 200 times. I just can't surmount this hill. It seems to me impossible.
Yeah, see, that is about 20 times more patience than I would have.
Oh, it was far more than I think I should have had. But there was a lot of just like pressing B and to go back, and then pressing B before I had even failed
again. Was it really 200?
Oh, yeah. No, I had a count of like 238.
I mean, I'm just impressed that you would stick with it for that long.
But each one was like 2 seconds, right? Because it's like, oh, screw it. I'm starting over again.
Yeah, this is...
You get to the point where it doesn't matter anymore. But there's a couple that I feel are just flat out impossible. To the point that I Twittered about it. That would be one of my most recent Twitters. Anyway, we're going to break. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Is that what we are?
That is what we are.
Never ChatterboxGameShow.com if you want to join in the live chat that Rich is on right now, right?
Yeah.
All right. Killer. If you want to call in, 866-536-1100. And if you want to know who sponsors us, it's UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. You can go to uat.edu to learn about the programs they offer, the schooling that they offer, and how you can get into the industry by learning how to make games. So let's continue on with the show. You just pointed this out to me. I actually got this in a press release prior. I mean, I get the same press releases that Joystick and everybody else gets. At least the ones I get, I assume they get. I think they get a lot more than I do, which pisses me off a little bit, by the way. I was totally thinking I should break this story and see if people on Twitter want to... Wait, there's one missing. There were seven before.
Right. So what this is, which we've been using a lot of pronouns right now, but...
I was vague.
Yes.
Intentionally. Yes. It was building suspense, you see.
So now you guys are all in suspense, and we're going to reveal to you that, Sega apparently is doing some kind of poll where they're going to let you decide, and you being the anonymous masses.
They want you to be the one to disappoint yourself.
That's right. Which Genesis game is going to be the next Xbox Live arcade game? And you're right, Alon. There used to be 7 games on the
I don't
poll,
know which one is missing.
And there are now 6 games. And the one missing is Earthworm Jim, because halfway, or I shouldn't say halfway, at least partway through the period of the poll, apparently, the guys putting out Earthworm Jim announced, it's coming out anyway for all, I don't know, a whole bunch of consoles or a whole bunch of platforms or whatever. And so now that that's coming out anyway, it's been removed from the voting poll.
Well, that's interesting.
So Earthworm Jim is coming out anyway. It was leading before it got cut off, which is nice because now we get actually 2 games off this list that are going to make it.
Toe Jam and Earl. I knew Toe Jam and Earl would be a big contender.
This is crazy to me. I'm actually looking at this, and the best game is nowhere near.
You're going to say Revenge of Shinobi?
The Revenge of Shinobi is, without question or discussion, the best game out of the 6.
Toe Jam and Earl, honestly, never played it, but it got a lot of excitement back in the day because it had like random dungeons or something.
Toe Jam and Earl is a quirky game, and it's
Xbox version sucks.
It was really not all that good. It's basically, it's kind of funny because if you look at it structurally, it's pretty much a roguelike.
A what?
A roguelike.
I don't.
Which is a random dungeon game where bad things happen to you constantly. And I kind of referred to it, I think, the last show or the show before. There's just bad things happen to you constantly out of your control, and it's all randomized. And it's kind of interesting that they have that structure. But
It's also interesting that it gained so much popularity.
Well, it's like 40-some percent, right, have voted for Toe Jam and Earl.
That sounds very RPG-like. And back in the days when Toe Jam and Earl was a big thing, RPGs were not a big thing in America.
That's even adding more irony to the situation.
Golden Axe 2, luckily, at the bottom of the list. So let me tell the listeners. Golden Axe 2, Shining Force, which I believe is an RPG, right?
Yep.
Revenge of Shinobi, Streets of Rage, Wonder Boy, and the obvious winner, Toe Jam and Earl, with 42%. None of the others have even broke 20%.
I don't understand this phenomenon. What is it about Toe Jam and Earl that people are so excited about?
I don't get it.
Golden Axe.
The
characters are
the top.
Cool. Like, I mean, like, come on, what? You want to look at old graphics of characters that are cool? Or do you want a finely tuned, incredible masterpiece of a Genesis game that is Revenge of Shinobi?
What I don't understand is why they don't just release all six in a single package and charge the same price that they're going to charge for a single one, because none of them are worth actually purchasing.
Except for Revenge of Shinobi. Revenge of Shinobi is the only one that holds up. If you play it
Didn't
today...
Didn't that just come out this week on WiiWare, by the way?
I don't know, maybe.
Sure.
We're talking about Revenge of Shinobi. That's the first one on the Genesis, right?
Yep.
So I was just reading an article. I think it came out for WiiWare this week or last week, and they were pointing out the irony that Revenge of Shinobi 3 came out on WiiWare a long time ago, 2007.
Yes. Well,
Revenge of Shinobi is only coming out now.
Technically, it was called just Shinobi 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, one of the sequels to the game that is now coming out came out a long time ago.
It was good, but I actually think that Revenge of Shinobi was a little better, even though it came out years before the third one.
You know what everybody should buy instead of these old Genesis games?
Don't say it. No.
Shadow Complex Tomorrow.
No. Okay, well, let's talk about that. Nice segue.
Another Xbox Live.
So Shadow Complex is coming out tomorrow.
Gotta play new games.
Everybody's raving about this game. Obviously, we haven't played it.
I have, actually.
You have played it.
I played it E3, yeah.
Okay, so that doesn't count.
It's the first Xbox Live Arcade game by Epic.
It's not by Epic.
Well,
Epic is just...
Yes, Tears the developer, yes. And Epic is, like, the publisher.
Thank
you.
I'm always a little suspicious and a little skeptical when everyone gets on the This Game Is Awesome bandwagon, especially before it comes out.
Aura, a skeptic?
Well, yeah. Believe
really?
It or not. Yeah, I know. It's hard. But I'm really hoping that this is a good game, but I'm kind of getting the sense that everybody is swooning over this just because it follows the classic Metroid/Castlevania structure, which is a nice structure for a game, but just because a game follows that structure doesn't inherently make it good. And so, I don't know, I'll be looking forward to trying this out and seeing.
The impressions I've read is that it's actually good on top of it.
Yeah, everybody I've heard is... They've said the game is amazing, and there are a few people on my friends list that all week this week, since they had a code to download early, like, they've been playing nothing but Shadow Complex, like, all week.
Well, isn't it a short game?
I'll be the judge of that.
The first time you play it through, I heard it can take maybe 10, 11 hours if you're going around and trying to find all the secrets and collecting
stuff.
That's
more time than I devote to any other game.
But
that's not a problem.
You can play through in about 2.5 hours.
That's also not a problem because...
So.
That is the right length for a game, by the way. Unless it's Super Mario, in which case it should be 100 hours.
So, yeah. I mean, you can replay the game. From what I've heard, it's still fun to keep playing it and finding all the little secrets and doing speed runs and stuff like that.
So hopefully it'll be cool. Hopefully it'll be awesome.
I'm excited.
Let's talk about some mixed martial arts, guys.
This is something that we did not cover in the past, but we wanted to, right?
Yeah, so I wanted to really make sure we covered it today because I've held off on this story for weeks, and this is the best time to bring it back because now...
Till it's just ripe enough.
Today it's just ripe enough because EA Sports announced that Randy Couture is going to be one of their headlining athletes for their new MMA game. Mixed martial arts game.
And why is that important to me?
And it's important because sometime in the middle of July, right, UFC president Dana White basically issued a public statement saying, you know what? We talked to EA a while ago about a game, and EA Sports told us, quote, you are not a real sport. Quote, we wouldn't touch this thing. We want nothing to do with this, says Dana White. Says Dana White, says EA said.
Head of UFC.
Yes, the head of UFC.
Which is the big MMA group or whatever you want to call
right.
them.
Right. And so this is – I'm just going to read this quote because it's a funny quote straight up. So he says – he continues to say, Dana White here, we put our asses on the line. I can say that on the radio, right?
Yep.
THQ and the UFC to make a video game deal in the worst economy in the world. We go out there and do this thing and it's successful. And now expletive, EA Sports wants to do a video game. Really? That's not what you told us a year and a half ago. You told us you'd never be in business with us. They wouldn't even take a meeting because mixed martial arts disgusted them. This wasn't a real sport. Boy, they get over that real quick, didn't they? So
he's saying that EA opened their eyes once they saw that THQ was successful?
Right. They basically said, you know, you guys can just piss off because we don't think that you're worth anything. And now, oh, look, someone made lots of money with an MMA game. And so now maybe we want to talk to you. And so Dana White says, no, now you piss off. And he took it a step further and actually gave an ultimatum saying, if any of my fighters, that is any UFC fighters, actually go over to be a part of this MMA game by EA, they will not fight for the UFC again.
That is ballsy. And so we've talked about that
before.
Very
ballsy.
We have said that, and I never understood why he was so fervent about it. I thought it was just a money play.
And now but knowing the rest of the story,
knowing the history behind it, makes me much more impressed and happy. I've switched sides. I've thought, screw that UFC guy before who's just being a dick, but now it makes sense to me. And I love that he's...
So he's a righteous dick. He's not just a dick.
Well, because he could probably make a lot of money by going over to EA Sports now, right? Because they have a lot more marketing. They would sell a lot more than THQ, even though THQ was successful with it.
Quite,
I think they would do
quite
much,
successful.
Much better at EA.
Maybe.
I think it's pretty much for granted that they would.
It's likely that it would do better at EA.
Although EA might give them a worse deal. But I think it's great that it's just like, now screw off. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So it remains to be seen if Randy Couture will fight for UFC again.
It was unlikely that he'd be fighting for UFC.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyways.
He's 41. He keeps getting beaten up by younger guys. So
he's
I don't know.
41.
Yeah, he's 41. Old.
And he's fighting dudes in some sort of octagon.
He had his belt taken away from him by Brock Lesnar. So I mean, he's on his way out anyway. So
I don't know if I would go that far, but I mean, you know, Rich,
you think he'd keep fighting regardless of our. Even if he didn't
unlike
go to MMA,
you, I'm not going to represent myself as an expert for
I'm just
an MMA,
saying
so.
he probably wasn't going to be fighting much more anyway.
You know what's awesome?
If at
EA,
all.
In retaliation to this guy being such a strong arm, EA decides we're going to start a whole new real MMA fighting championship, right? So, forget just making video games. Now we're getting in the real ring,
yes.
Right?
That would be beautiful.
That would be fantastic because then they blow UFC out of the water. That'd be fantastic. All right, well, we got another break. We'll be back again.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
And we're back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I wonder what else. We've got so many things. I want people to call in. If they have something they want to discuss, feel free, 866-536-1100. Any chatter in the old chatter room?
We're talking about MMA fighting right now. So.
God, that's still such going. A useless thing
yep.
to talk
so,
about.
So does everybody think that Coach Rur is really washed up like you do or no?
How could you not?
The conversation quickly turned to Brock Lesnar, but...
I see. All right. Well, so you had something for us, Rich, did you not?
Yeah. Mostly about Activision and how people on the internet are stupid.
I'm going to follow that up after you do your thing.
I think you agree that people are stupid on the internet.
Well, yeah, but I have another angle to take on it. But go ahead. Let me not interrupt you.
So, I mean, the past few weeks to a couple months or whatever, Activision has been doing this thing where, you know, they want to raise prices on their games. You know, outside the U.S., they've already announced that Modern Warfare 2 is going to cost more, like 8 billion euros or something like that.
This
I don't
is
know.
Somehow a surprise.
Yeah.
Activision wants to raise prices? A publisher
exactly.
wants games to cost more? Like, people are surprised about this? They don't realize that every publisher would make games cost $200 if they could get away with it?
Yeah, basically people are like, angry that they're increasing prices on games, specifically Modern Warfare 2. Like, I mean, if there's a game I'd pay more money for, it's going to be that game. So, I mean, I can understand why they're increasing the price of that game in certain regions, because I'd still buy it.
Do you have any idea how much games cost in Europe to begin with?
Yeah, they're expensive.
Back in the day, I was in France when I was like 15 or 16.
Everything is more expensive.
Dude, I was in France back in the day when, like, I don't know, Mortal Kombat 2 or something was the game around, right? For Sega Genesis or yeah. Mega Drive. Something like $75 or $90 per game.
In the U.S., I thought Mortal Kombat cost, it was like $60-$70 in the U.S.
I think it was
at
60.
That time. But yeah, so 60 then is more than 60 now. I mean, if you look at inflation stuff.
Yeah, but
like
back
that,
then, so. It was $95 or $90 for a game. It was basically an extra 50% for the game, you know, because of whatever taxes and shipping and smaller economies, meaning like fewer units sold.
Yeah.
But the games are just so expensive that they're raising the price is actually a little surprising to me because that's just getting more and more expensive.
The most shocking thing for me when I went to Europe about a year ago was that, well, the UK at least, right? Everything there in pounds was like the same number in dollars.
Yeah.
Which means that everything just scales up by 150%.
Yeah.
Yep, that's pretty much how it is.
It's like $2 for a little dinky burger. Okay, £2. Now it's $4.50.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Or whatever. It's like, yeah, it's
but $4. If you want, you could probably go to Iceland and get, you know, 5-cent burgers.
Well, I missed that
Iceland.
One.
Iceland went bankrupt recently.
It's true. But no, I mean, it's just all these people are talking about Activision Online, and it's just like on a bunch of sites we're reporting all this stuff about how, you know, they're gouging the consumer, and reading comments on different sites, it's people seem to be entitled to have Activision treat them well because they buy Activision games.
Well,
and
this is just the typical, you know, the gamer fanboy entitlement complaining.
And so somebody goes, oh, well, let's start an online petition and say we're not going to buy any Activision games anymore. First of all, that's ridiculous because I guarantee you there's going to be a game that Activision is going to publish that you're going to want to play. And there's no reason not to buy it just because they price a game differently in a different country.
As far as pricing goes, petitions are meaningless because people are going to vote with their wallets.
Exactly. Like, they had like 10,000 people sign the petition, and they're like, yeah, we got 10,000 signatures.
What's the petition?
How great is this?
I would rather pay 5 cents instead of $60.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's me.
Exactly.
I'll raise my hand for that.
And it's like 10,000 people saying they're not going to buy Activision games. Like, Activision doesn't care about those 10,000 people because when Modern Warfare 2 comes out, it's going to sell 10 million units across, like worldwide on PS3 and 360 total. Like it's going to sell that many copies. So 10,000 people is completely meaningless when it comes to 10 million people. And these people seem to think that they're.
Who are these people?
Just internet people, like people that comment on websites on the internet, and people who blog and repost it, and they post it like it's great news that people are protesting about Activision. It's like,
well, it's the easiest thing in the world to say.
It's just completely meaningless.
I don't want to pay a lot for this muffler or whatever.
Yeah,
anyone can say that.
All right. Well, there was something that I wanted to propose to our game designer Ara over here.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So you know that I'm a big fan of the Little Big Planet game.
You're tremendous fan.
Tremendous. I think it's the only game worth getting the system for, right? The Metal Gear Solid 4 may be a fun game to play, might be other games worth playing. Little Big Planet is the game worth getting the system for.
You still play that game?
Well, no, because I played it through, right?
Can I borrow it?
If you want, sure.
Yes!
So anyway, now this game obviously has a lot of downloadable content, user-created content, but they've also been enhancing the game over time, although I haven't gone in and checked too much of it because a lot of it's pay content, you know, I'm not into that. But I know they've made some subtle changes to how the game actually works, but apparently there's a new update coming soon where they're actually making a significant content addition, and that is water. And they actually prepared a movie. I've seen it on Joystick here right now. It's on page 3. You can go in, and it just sort of previews some of the interaction of water in the game.
More levels with water?
Well, the thing is, in the past, they haven't been creating more levels to play, but they've been providing new materials and things to use for user-generated content.
So now you can put water in your own.
Yeah, so now you could. Levels. Now, so, but this is an interesting idea to me that, like, how significantly could something so seemingly simple as the addition of water in a game really change it? And is this, like, a really, I mean, it is a big change, but on the other hand, it seems like a small change.
Well,
as a designer, like, it opens up so many new possibilities.
Well, this sounds intriguing because when you say that they're adding water, it could mean a bunch of different things, which could range from totally boring to completely crazy to
boring would be you could put a vat of water and if you fall in it you die.
Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, I wasn't thinking that quite that extreme, but my first interpretation was, okay, you can now have vats of water that you can swim in. Are they doing that, or are they doing something like are they actually featuring fluid dynamics that's going to
what
kind
I'm
of like
picturing
spill
is
around
fluid dynamics in buckets that could drop and then move into other things. Like you've seen all sorts of Rube Goldberg
right.
Systems well, that use fluids.
I mean, is that in fact what they're announcing?
Well, I don't know. All I've done is watch the video, so I'll watch it through again right now and see what I think of it. But I don't think they would make like they're making a big dramatic. Hey, we're gonna have water in the game.
Yeah,
so
but yeah,
let's
but come
say
on.
It goes all the way.
The hype machine of video games knows no boundaries.
Well, but this
we
is a little big planet.
That.
But here's, I mean, I pose the hypothetical to you. A game comes out months later, they introduce something, some new feature like this. Like this is almost. I don't want to hype it up like it's something bigger than it is, right? That's. I try not to do that. But it seems to me like it's really neat that a company is backing it up and adding something so potentially significant. And how, as a designer, like do you think about that? Would you like to work on something where you can add incremental features like this that actually make a strong difference in the game? Are you watching this video with me? Look, they've got a speedboat now running through
totally
the water.
Totally watching.
They don't actually show any buckets, like I said, where you can transfer objects. But there is swimming, which also means essentially flight. Right, because you're not limited to the ground.
Yeah,
now.
Pretty much. So it looks like what they're going to put in is the simpler implementation I was thinking about, because actually the latter one, which was more complicated, is actually like it could be a hugely complex issue.
But they also had things floating. So imagine multiple things floating at various depths.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's not like a totally incredible major change, but I mean, it's cool. You can do things in water that you can't do in other media. So.
Doesn't that interest you, though? It's not just a new level, right? It's a totally new mechanic being added to a
game.
Well,
I mean, it is to that game, but it's not like they've done something completely different that's not been used.
I mean, what other game in the past has done that sort of thing?
What?
Where they introduce downloadable water. Content.
No, not in that way. But I mean, other platformers have water. I mean, it's a pretty standard gameplay device.
Well, I know, but this game obviously is a little bit different. It's not just there's water in a level that you deal with. But what I'm talking about is there's a game that's designed, and then there's through its life cycle, it adds content. But this isn't just trivial content.
Right.
It's not art assets.
No, it is
it's
an actual
level assets.
New function of the game, which it's kind of interesting because I think they've had to. For them to be able to kind of dispense this, first of all, I think that it really depends on the type of game, and they have to. I mean, a platformer lends itself, I think, quite nicely to something like that, because something like, you know, adding water, I don't think is going to interfere with the rest of, you know, how the game is put together mechanically.
I turn to my Left 4 Dead expert, Josh.
I mean, other games have done similar things, not necessarily like adding water, adding a mechanic, but I mean, if you look at PC games and PC game engines. Through the life cycle of a specific engine, oftentimes the developer will add new technology to the engine. So it's kind of like a half update to it, say adding like mega textures or HDR lighting or butt mapping, parallax
that's all
mapping.
That's graphical stuff.
I mean,
I can't think of something that actually
stuff,
changes the
it's
gameplay.
Actual like core stuff of the engine they can change. And
think
update.
About Left 4 Dead to Left 4 Dead 2. People are all whining that it's not enough of an update. Right, and all it is new levels.
People
and
are stupid.
Some new enemies.
As we've already gone over.
This is I don't think it's going to be free. I suppose you have to pay for it, but I don't really know. But it's a totally new mechanic. Aren't you jealous, Josh?
Jealous of what's happening in Big Planet?
Yeah.
Not really.
Have you ever even played Little Big Planet?
I have, but then there's a game called Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good on the PS3, I hear.
Dude, Little Big Planet is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a kid's game.
It's awesome. Not a kid's game. I mean, kids can also play.
No Metal Gear Solid 4.
Oh, I see what you're saying. All right. Well, we're off to another break. We'll be back for one final segment. If you have anything you want to say, feel free. 866-536-1100. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's the fast-moving, never-stopping train known as Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Is that what we are?
That's exactly what we are.
We're the fast-moving, never-stopping?
That's right.
Faster than a speeding bullet?
Sure, why not?
All right, great. Well then, let's not slow down this train.
That's right.
Choo-choo.
I will slow it down just a notch. But
only for a second.
Only for a second to mention UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advanced Technology, where you could go, you could actually be a student of technology and learn how to make games. I did it.
All right.
I totally did it.
Getting back up to full speed here. All right, that's the sound of full speed.
That sounds like the speed of my 250cc bike in Trials HD.
All right, that's the speed we're back up to again.
All right, lay it on me.
All right, so was it last week that we interviewed the Game Cage fellows?
I think last week was a sheesh.
Right, okay, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yes, yeah, time is like a very, very warped, non-linear thing for me. But yes, some time ago we interviewed.
Time is not linear for you, lucky man.
Yes, well, you know, it's not as solid as cracked up to be.
All right.
But we interviewed these guys from the Game Cage who were going to.
Aaron and Brian? Is that?
It's possible.
Maybe.
I'm not even going to try and correct you because I'm pretty sure I'll be wrong if I do.
I don't know if I'm right, but I think so.
But basically, yeah, there was a startup that. There's not just wanting to. They're going to eventually start putting in video game rental kiosks.
So they say.
Here and there. And so very interestingly, just today, there was a story on, what is it called? Redbox, which is a DVD rental kiosk.
The story
company.
Was on Redbox?
No. The story was...
About Redbox.
Okay. Yes. So they've just recently announced that in Reno, Nevada, they're already starting a test market where they're going to now rent games at $2 a night, which coincidentally was the same price that these Game Cage fellows were proposing.
I think they were proposing $1.99, so they do have a competitive advantage.
Okay, well, one
cent.
Ooh. Yeah.
So they're going to start out with actually about 13 360 games. And you can't reserve them or anything, so... If you live in Reno, check it out. But
you can return them to any Redbox. So how about you go to Reno and then go on vacation to, you know, Maryland?
Yeah. I wonder how that's going to go. I wonder how that's going to work out
with test markets.
Well,
they can redistribute. They say.
Yeah, more competition. I couldn't say that we couldn't see this totally coming. I mean,
it seems kind of like an obvious next step, really.
Right.
But you know, always, power to them. Always, I guess it's a waiting game now, or more of a time game.
Yeah.
Whoever can get it out there first. Redbox clearly has the infrastructure in place, ready to go.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but we're always rooting for the local boys in Arizona.
Yeah, we could say we knew them from the beginning.
That's right.
I feel so bad now.
Yeah, I kind of
shook those guys' hands.
You know, yeah, it's like this is like the.
Yeah,
the Chatterbox train now is like hit like a speed bump, and
but,
now
but
we're
you know,
like,
you remember I pointed
down.
Out that they. Or ask them if they had quit their jobs, and no, shh, don't be crazy. We're not doing that.
Well, few people are that crazy.
The successful people are. Of course, there are plenty of
sometimes.
Unsuccessful people who also are.
Yes, and those too.
Funny. All right, so moving right along.
Okay, so going back up to full speed again.
Woo!
Now, Best Buy recently announced that, hey, you know what? We're going to start selling our new games at the same prices that GameStop or GameCrazy sells used games.
This is only in a test market, though.
Now, it's only a test market, which, interestingly enough, is West Jordan, Utah, a very biblical-sounding location. And it sounds dramatic, right, until you realize that GameStop tends to sell their used games the ones that are relatively still new, you know, like not like 3 or 4 or 5 years old, at about...
Only $5 difference.
Yeah, like $5 less.
Less than 10% off.
Right. Yeah. But when you go there, when I've gone there, like, oh, I want to get a used game. It's $5 less? What? Forget it. Right? So Best Buy is going to decrease their prices for about $5, which is what they're not telling you.
Well, what's important to know is that they buy those games for only about $52 or $53.
To get
them into their store. So this can't be successful.
It's getting really, really close to the edge here. But interestingly enough, GameStop has announced retaliatory action. And that's my word, not theirs. And so also in West Jordan, Utah, they've reduced their prices on their used games.
Fancy that. That is such a coincidence.
And
who thought that there would be so much attention on West Jordan, Utah?
Yeah, I guess it's a hotbed for video game sales. I don't know. Maybe
my guess is Best Buy just wanted to test this in a small market and hoped the internet wouldn't notice, but of course it's the internet.
Yeah, maybe they're like, what location has the least amount of attention possible from gamers?
Yeah.
What's the most puritanical religious location we can think of where probably few people play these evil satanic video games? West Jordan, yeah. Utah.
It's all Barbie and horse riding.
So,
right?
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up. But yeah, so you can get Punch Out for $35.
So they basically
prototype
said,
for
well, screw
bucks?
You, Best Buy. If you're going to advertise it, you're selling it for our used prices. Here you go. Yeah. Sell them for less than you bought them for.
Yeah.
Because then they'll say, exactly. Well, if they do it in other markets, we'll do the same thing. And then
Street Fighter 4, $25.
Well, it's funny because GameStop was selling Street Fighter 4 brand new for $20. Do we have an explanation for why they did that, by the way?
Not really. I mean, people speculated that there's going to be a new version of the Street Fighter 4 coming out, so they're just getting – but that's not confirmed at all. Like some sort of tournament edition or whatever name they want to apply to it.
Uh-huh.
But that's completely unconfirmed.
That will
like
totally piss me off.
Super sale, $20, buy it.
All right.
So I bought it.
But yeah, that's sort of interesting, but it's – I don't know if it's good of GameStop. Like if I were GameStop, I would have done the same thing.
Oh, totally.
Right. Well, whenever this thing – with this kind of issue comes up, people – the other topic that's related that always gets raised is – you should buy new games anyway because used games do not support developers.
Yeah, whatever.
And I've always...
Guess who doesn't care?
Well, I mean, you know, you guys don't care, and you might think that I care, but actually I tend to take the contrarian viewpoint here as a developer myself, and I would actually rather games be much cheaper than they are now by and large, and I would rather more people buy them and play them and get exposed to them. And so in general, you know what? I don't mind if games are cheaper. And you know what? I mean, you can...
Well, that's what's good from this. It's reducing the cost of games.
It's really just
overall.
Pretty much good for everybody except for,
stockholders of GameStop and Best Buy.
I guess. Those those who think that, you know, you should only buy games used and then you should never, ever transfer your ownership. That's kind of crazy.
You mean only buy the new?
Exactly. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Just to clarify.
The Chatterbox train was moving so fast that it kind of skipped the rail just for a moment there.
All right.
So we got another one coming up here.
Another stop on the choo-choo?
Yes, that's right. Let's keep going with this. And so Game Informer did a study. They did a survey, actually, of about 5,000 readers. And we don't know the specifics of this survey. And so there's a lot of questions raised about its veracity.
Is this about the defective systems?
Yes.
Yep.
And so basically they're reporting that the Xbox 360, by their extrapolation, it has about a 54.2% failure rate.
Meaning red-ringed.
More than half of Xbox 360s have failed.
My question is, what does failure mean?
It means it stops working.
It means it broke.
Okay.
Broken. Not work anymore. No play games.
Which is weird, because some people say that it's actually more than that.
Well, this is pretty astonishing if it's actually 50, but I actually kind of believe it. And
How could it be more than that?
Because everyone you know has had to return their Xbox.
Not everyone.
I don't know if it's everyone I know, but actually, I wanted to take an informal poll just among us now of how many 360s have we each gone through.
I am only on my second one.
I mean, I've never had to return one myself.
Okay, so you're
really?
You're at 50%.
I thought you were.
No, I have mine now. The one I had before was my brother John's, who brought his back to Illinois, which hasn't gone bad.
And so the one you're using now is actually really new.
So out of me and my two brothers, that's three Xboxes, one of them has gone bad.
Okay.
Okay, so I can't count, so someone else counts. How about you, Josh?
Josh doesn't own one.
I don't own one, but my previous roommate had one, and it died, and he got another one replaced. At my current house, we have three, and two of them are dead.
My brother had one go bad on him.
All right.
And he does not play a lot.
Yours that went bad, you bought it like opening day.
No, actually.
Didn't you?
I tried to buy one opening day. You know the story, how I got totally screwed.
Okay, yeah.
That was
I finally bought one.
You bought yours within a month or two.
I bought one the next month, and then I sold it right off the bat, and I didn't actually get a 360 for like a year and a half.
Okay, so it was a bit longer.
Yeah.
I thought you had
yours. Actually bought mine used, but it was very new when I it hadn't been used by the original owner very much.
Okay.
But my old roommate, who, again, I've talked about on the show all the time, he's...
Johnny.
Didn't at least one of his go bad?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure one did, but then he went and bought the Halo version, and then he sold that because he decided he didn't like that anymore. He just buys tons of systems.
That's getting confusing. I'm on my third one, believe it or not.
That's crazy.
Yes. The first one I bought failed within 20 minutes, and I ran back to the store because this is when the 360s were rare enough that when Best Buy got some, they put all of them on a table in the front of the store. And so when I got one, I played it. It failed in 20 minutes. I ran back to the store. There were like two left. I got that one that lasted me a few years. That one finally went.
That one was weird though because it thought everything was a DVD movie for like 3 months.
Yeah, more than that actually. It was probably about half a year it did that. Then it finally Red Ring. That failed. So I'm on my third one. So I don't know. 50% doesn't sound all far off.
It sounds very correct.
Which is kind of crazy if you think about it, just in the terms of like consumer products, like a 50% failure rate.
Well, that's why they had to step up and give us all free ones.
Well, at least they stepped up.
Yeah. All right, I guess that's the end of the show now.
Yes, the train has come to a halt.
Josh, is there anything you want to mention before we go?
No, not really.
All right, well, thank you for sitting in. I really appreciate it. You were a wonderful guest. We'll be back next week. And in 2 weeks, we're not going to actually miss a show for PAX, are we?
Nope.
No. All right. Well, cool. People, send us your email, alon@chatterboxgameshow.com. Let me know what you think about becoming a PAX contestant or how we should choose our PAX contestants, if you're going to be there, whatever. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.